All right, so here we are for yet an utter episode of Indie Film Cafe, and I am your host this time around, Paulie Presenza, a.k.a. the Moo Cow, and with us all the way from L.A. is...
Well, I'm not all the way from L.A. right now. Well, I'm here in the studio, and I won't be for very long, so I'll be back here in Virginia very, very soon, but... Yes, I'm Jonathan A. Moody, co-host.
And laughing at us in the background here, we also have...
Just Jen.
Yay!
Yay, she's back again. God, this is your second time in the first year. Wow, that's crazy. Are we going to have you a lot more this year?
I don't know. You know, I work events, and once COVID starts going away, I'm going to be busy off my butt.
I hear you.
Yep.
But are we glad that you're making special trips for us to come out here to the studio and watch silly, stinky movies, such as the movie we are about to see today, which I've kind of
She always sighs right before we're about to watch the movie.
I kind of sort of gave you...
Because I know what's coming.
I gave you a hint about what it is. And it is a very silly, werewolf-ish kind of movie called...
Wait, werewolf-ish?
Ish. You'll see.
No,
you'll see.
Okay.
Called Blood Wolf. And
it's called Blood Wolf?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You kept calling it Dark Wolf.
Dark Wolf. Sorry, that's it. Dark Wolf.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, my God. You got the title wrong in the beginning.
Yeah, that happens.
Just look at the title, everybody.
Dark Wolf.
Dark Wolf.
Oh,
and,
It's not much better.
I don't know. Blood Wolf, Dark Wolf, whatever.
So we will be checking that out, and we will come talk to you after the flaming aftermath of this movie. But in the meantime, let's go and hear some of that moon music. Okay, we are back. So, we are talking Dark Wolf. What did you guys think? First impressions.
That was so bad.
I don't even know what I watched.
20 minutes of interpretive naked werewolf lesbian dance.
It wasn't 20 minutes.
It felt much longer than 20 minutes.
I did, but it wasn't. I think it was like maybe 10 minutes.
Still,
that's long. That's long.
Way too long.
And they cut in with the guy that everybody hated getting eaten, which was kind of nice.
Well, wandering around first.
Wandering around, bumping into stuff, randomly pulling out a flashlight, you know.
Everybody had their flashlight. That was nice. Everybody was always prepared at all times with a flashlight.
Makes me wonder if I should just carry a flashlight.
Well, and it makes sense because so many of the sets were dark and looked abandoned, like they were just kind of shooting in a building that nobody had been using for a long time.
Probably like were.
Fake hospital that they had. They had like a yellow light here, or a red light there, or a green light there, or an orange light there, but that's about it.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So, who can encapsulate exactly what happens in this film?
I think we should do what we sometimes do, where we don't just say the whole thing, but just go right into all of
sort
it.
Sort of a rough overview.
I can tell you what action happened, but I don't understand anything behind it.
I can tell you how it began, how it middle, and how it ended. I can tell you that.
Okay. Good enough.
All right. So, in the beginning, there's a... Hold on. I'm trying to remember because, it was... Even though it was, an hour and a half ago, or 2 hours ago, it felt like
the
way more.
Remember, the very first thing, there's a titty
boobs.
Bar.
Yeah, there's boobs.
Like in the beginning, there
okay.
Boobs.
So we That's figured true. It was starting, up top. We figured it was starting
class.
Well.
High class. So, all right. So they're in a strip club. And all of a sudden, this biker guy, whose name is Biker Guy. Played by Kane Hodder, runs in, barges in and everything. And breaks through the door.
Where's
and
the
all,
girl?
Yeah, he's looking for... He has one line. He's, where's the girl? And he's looking for somebody that we don't know who it is yet. And all of a sudden, he takes a stripper hostage. The cops come in. They're trying to stop him. They arrest him easily. Like, even though he's a werewolf and can, like, throw people around.
We don't know that yet.
Griggs and Murtaugh arrest him pretty easily.
Actually, it was more like Murtaugh and Murtaugh. Because, yeah. Like, it was, yeah. So they go and they arrest him. They take him to the,
Bread truck.
The bread truck. They get him in there and, They're like, oh, we got to start getting him there before, like, the full moon shines or whatever.
Yes, because the little blonde chick in the purple outfit doesn't understand what's going on.
Purple pantsuit. Purple pantsuit.
Yep. So they basically get killed because this thing just, you know, breaks through and kills them. But even though one of the guys can't escape.
Right, for some reason the door in the bread truck no longer works because the script demands it.
Right, we're like, why can't he just open the door?
Because he has to die.
Right. I know.
My partner died tonight. A good cop died tonight.
That's not good enough for me, detective.
I lost my partner tonight.
I honestly would have rather of them did the thing where people just are like screaming and freaking out instead of like trying to open the door. Because that makes more sense than them trying to open the door and it can't open.
Right.
You know,
right.
Unless you get an insert of like them like, oh, trying to open the door and it's jammed.
It's such an, you know, that makes sense. An old chestnut. You know, things suddenly don't work at the critical time. It's like, come on. Or people suddenly forget how to run at a critical time.
Now,
come on.
Okay. I guess this might have taken more time and more whatever effort. But they could have had them get out of the car. And then he killed the one guy and he jumps out and he kills the other guy and then runs off.
Well, here's the thing. If you notice, the werewolf was, you know, part sort of guy in a suit with a mask and CGI.
$90,000 ape suit
that they worked on. But it was cheaper to just have the arm come through and kill the guys there and not have to show them, because when it actually left the bread truck, it was obviously a shitty CGI scene. So he runs off, and now we have what's left. We have Bedhead Cop, and we have Purple Pantsuit Cop. And they go back to the station, and Bedhead Guy is like being all shitty to Purple Pantsuit Girl because she doesn't know what's going on. She keeps pestering him. And he's like, blah, 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 just you're either with me or you're not.
Yeah, accept it. I don't have time to explain it to you.
Look, just because you're assigned to me for a couple of days to learn the ropes doesn't give you the right to come in here and start asking.
And then he explains it to her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't have time for this, but okay, sure,
so
I'll tell you.
So you get the feeling that there's this werewolf thing going on with the cops.
The cops know about it, but it's okay.
It's
so
okay.
That annoys me a little bit now that I'm thinking about it.
Instead of having a dog catcher, you have a werewolf catcher.
But no, right.
Werewolves. They exist. They are very real. Get over it.
But that's a great idea for a movie.
Oh, no.
I would watch that.
I know.
I would, the werewolf catcher. You know, they put them in the little things and they start.
Yes.
Yes. Oh,
here's our K-9.
All right, we got to write that down. Okay. but here's the thing. What I really, really, really annoyed me is the fact that she is new to this whole thing. Wouldn't that be one of the things? Like, if this was a real, like, situation, it's not like they're hiding it, like, from everything. They obviously, people saw her, the guy being ripped apart from a werewolf. So, like, that's a thing in this town.
What's worse, too, is she's supposed to be shadowing.
That's what I'm saying.
So that means he's supposed to be teaching her about cop stuff. And when she asks questions, as you're supposed to do when you're learning, it's, I don't have time for this.
We're out of time.
Accept it.
You're shadowing me, but I can't tell you anything.
Yeah.
Which makes no sense. But, like, should this be something that they start telling her before? By the way, we have werewolves in this town.
Before she even gets to the damn,
right.
Assignment.
Yeah, like, we have werewolves in this town. You might see that.
Werewolf addendum to your
werewolf is actually closer than what it appears in the mirror.
So they
go back to, because he's you know, not telling her what's going on. So, but they go to the diner, and that's when they meet Josie. And Josie's like the one chick, but they don't know that yet. And she's like very, very sweet, and she's giving food to the wackadoodle, well-dressed bag lady who's in the alley, Mary, played by
Tippi Hedren. But Here's the thing. She's basically supposed to be, like, because we saw the... But we saw the behind the scenes, and this guy likes Lon Chaney movies. The writer likes Lon Chaney movies. She's basically the gypsy woman who's supposed to know everything about all this stuff, and apparently she's 900 years old, exposition and blah, lady. Blah, blah, which...
I have been protecting this bloodline for 900 years.
Makes no sense at all because she dies really fucking easily. So why didn't she die like so fucking easily?
Because of that beret.
Clearly. It's a stylish beret.
It's a magical beret.
Hey, instead of it's a magical day, it's a magical beret.
So, yeah, but she's there to sort of give exposition both to their characters and to the rest of us so we figure out what the fuck's going on. Then Dark Wolf comes, who's a dark prince of the hybrid werewolves, and he starts tearing people up. He injures McGowan, who's the purple pantsuit girl, and then he goes back and kills Mary. And before Mary freaking dies already, she wheezes out all the stuff that she's supposed to do.
Wheezing? I don't think she's wheezing. I think she's like basically
she had a nice long conversation.
Yeah, she just keeps talking, and Jen and I were talking about how she's just gonna pop right back up and say and more stuff. Oh, by the way, I forgot this.
She's got the ultimate Deus Ex Machina, the magical book that explains everything, and she's telling him about the magical book that explains everything. And what does he do? He forgets the goddamn magical book that explains everything.
Who's the Dark Wolf? It's not who, it's what.
Yeah, I don't think he really understood that, you know. He wasn't paying attention. He was so confused all the time. What are you talking about? You know. Yet he knew she was 900 years old.
Exactly. So he's accepted that much. He should accept the werewolf book, you would think.
But purple pantsuit girl, when she's told that the lady's 900 years old, she's like, excuse me? Like, can we back this up a little bit? Like, right. I don't understand. And then Mary's all, you know, like, oh, this like getting snarky with the cop, and I'm like, well, like who treats the cop like that? Like, why would she do that? Like, I don't know. She was so mean to her.
I know.
I was like, I felt bad for that girl because, like, you know, she's new in town. She doesn't know what's going on.
She's as sharp as a dull tag.
Yeah,
funny. It was so funny. Yeah. But so in any event, the real problem is that Bedhead cop doesn't know that Josie, the sweet waitress chick, is quote unquote the girl of the.
No,
the,
she does know.
No, 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 he doesn't. She doesn't know that. She has to. Mary has to explain that there. Remember?
Yeah. I know, but like, didn't she say you have to protect that girl?
Right. Well, yeah,
she
eventually.
She kept saying the girl, the
right,
girl,
the girl,
which is
who it was.
So, interesting story, real quick. Alfred Hitchcock worked with Tippi Hedren and the Birds. I'm gonna let people know that. Whatever, if people don't know who Tippi Hedren is. There was a movie about Tippi Hedren called The Girl. Just saying.
Oh, okay.
Just saying. That's a little weird. It's a little weird. I don't know. I saw that. I heard that. I was like,
But clearly he's been working with Mary before, and she never told him because you're not supposed to interfere with her becoming a werewolf and staring at the moon or some goofy ass shit. I don't know why. There's always a reason. So she's dying, and she finally, with her eyes, says, that's the girl. So now he has to protect her.
Yeah.
So he drags her away from her boyfriend, Tom, who's a dick
Tommy.
That nobody likes, and snarky friend, and they run off. So meanwhile, Tom and snarky friend find the book, the magical book that explains everything, and they're like, oh, this is cool. They grab it, they run off.
She thinks it's cool. He doesn't care.
So
he doesn't care about anything.
He runs off and is like trying to explain to Josie about it, and then she has a freak out and blah, 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 blah. Meanwhile, and this is the best part of the film, Snarky Girl and Tom go to meet up Snarky Girl's boyfriend, who happens to be a photographer with this, I guess, semi-gay Hispanic makeup artist guy, Miguel.
Yeah.
And he's there taking some new topless shots of this of girl, Anna, as you do. And they suddenly, after looking at the werewolf book, have this brilliant idea to do this long-ass interpretive werewolf lesbian dance scene amongst trash hanging from the ceiling on the roof.
Under the full moon.
And it makes under the full moon, and it just makes the movie. It's so ridiculous.
Real quick before we get right into that, because I know you really love that story about that stuff. But
I do.
My thing is, the snarky girl gets really upset that the boyfriend is taking photos of this girl. And all I'm thinking is, So you were cool with him taking photos of your best friend, Josie? Because she shows some of, like, the pictures or something, you know, of Josie or whatever. Right. So you're okay with that, but you're not okay with your boyfriend taking pictures of some random chick. Like, whatever. Which
I got the impression she was more annoyed at the chick than her boyfriend.
Mm-hmm. Really? Like, the
yeah.
like she was blaming?
Yeah,
At first, later.
She got over that real quick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Randomly too, like it was just like out of nowhere, but we'll talk about that in a second.
Oh my god, so yeah, the interpretive dance is so they're like he smears a bunch of weird ass shit, like they smear blue shit on the one girl.
Well, so they have this whole long scene of makeup, and it's not like them getting their makeup done, it's random paint on their faces and their body. I was afraid one of the girls was going to be a black face, quite honestly. It was all smeared with brown. I'm like, this is taking a weird
turn. This is going bad. Oh, didn't Miguel call the Smurf girl slutty or something?
Yeah.
Or slut?
Because she did her own makeup.
Because she did.
Yeah.
She looks like a slut, you know? And so I was like, what?
It's being all bitchy.
Oh, Lord.
As makeup artists are, because you know they're all male and gay and snarky.
And so I don't know how to describe the dance scene. It's so ridiculous.
Just interpretive dance covers it
with like this weird cheap techno background and flashing lights, and the girls going grr, 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 and then
they
sort of feel each other up,
and they're covered in body paint.
They start making out,
as you do, because that's what women do when they're dancing naked werewolf stuff on the roof.
Underneath the full moon.
I just love at the end
that's
of it.
Me and my girlfriends, you know.
There you go.
Come on.
I just love by the end of it, the gay guy looks like he's turned straight, and then he looks over at the other guy, and the guy's like, I gotta develop this film now.
Yeah,
you know, like
super turned on.
Oh my god!
Because yeah, it's
the girls
like
we're getting into it too.
Right. I mean, it's like you know when you're a 12-year-old boy and you don't really know much about women. This is kind of what you assume women do all day long with each other. So it's just so silly, ridiculous. So
just only once a year, not every day.
Meanwhile, some things and stuff happen with Josie and Bedhead Cop. Whose name we thought were like three different names. We thought it was
Steven,
Steve, it was Tyler,
it
was Charlie.
And Charlie, and it was actually Turley.
Turley.
Okay. So I don't know how we got any of that from that, but all right.
At one point, she actually starts to turn into a wolf in his bathtub, and she tears off her Kleenex, and then she falls in the tub.
White shirt.
Yeah, white shirt. You say Kleenex, but
it's like apparently it's barely a shirt. And then he breaks in, although he couldn't do it before, and he finds her, and she's like all half wolf.
He didn't break in. He just turned the knob.
Well, he couldn't do that before.
I'm just saying, like, he didn't take him much. Like, the first time, he was like, oh, my God, how do I get in? And
so
then the
ridiculous.
Next time, he's like, oh, just turn the knob.
And then he's like, stop.
Some of us forget to turn the knob when they open the door and run into the closed doors.
You notice he stops when she's, like, half a werewolf, and he's like, oh, and then she turns back again, and she's all weeping, and he's like, oh, okay, I guess I'll help you.
Oh, you know, and like he wasn't he wasn't scared that she could turn again at all. You know, he was like, oh god.
But she
so
magically has her Kleenex back on. That's so ridiculous.
Continuity. Where's your monkey?
There was
and
a monkey.
During this entire time too. Tom, the douche boyfriend, is stuck in this alley.
Yeah, he went downstairs. The door closed, and he couldn't figure out a way out.
And he's just in this alley. Which I have to admit, the door locked behind me. I would be pissed. No one's answering the phone.
Sure.
You're stuck in an alley.
Sure.
Yeah, it's probably cold. I mean, it looked like it was freezing out there. So, like. Yeah.
And this is the point where Dark Wolfie comes back because he smelled them, and now he starts killing everyone. Everyone turns into kibble.
Starting with Tom. Tom, and then poor girl you liked.
Well, he comes up and he kills Miguel.
Miguel
is too.
Yeah.
He attacks Anna and kills her. Just kind of bitch slaps her to the side.
So she might still be alive. I don't know. We never got that, but I have hope.
The impression is no.
Yeah.
But it's funny because he bitch slaps Snarky Girl several times against the wall, and she bounced back like it was nothing. Like she made out of rubber.
But she's
by Snark.
She's
right.
The Snarky
she's
Girl. She's the. She's like
you'd laugh when she did her first snark when he was there because at the diner scene, remember, and he shows up and the guy's like, "Hey, I think that guy is hitting on my girl." And she's like, "What? That guy?"
She points. She points to him. She's so loud, and it is like I just busted out laughing so hard.
I loved that.
Oh my god! I'm like, who fucking does that?
She does. She was the Cordelia of the group. She just did
Cordelia
would have
done that.
Did
yes.
not give a fuck.
Yeah.
Loved her character. Brilliant. Was so much fun. And so at this point, it's just, you know, how many people can Dark Wolf kill before, you know, things happen? You know, there's a big scene in the cop station.
No, before then, though, they get in the car, and there was
a pretty big
continuity.
Lots of continuity, actually.
Yeah, because the car, like, she breaks the car window, but then the car window's four there, times. Like, four times.
Several times, her window gets broken.
And it's still fine, still like, in next shots.
Yeah,
like they're not like they're trying to make it look cool, but then they fail.
It's like we only have this footage here. We better put it in there. And if it's not edited right out, leave it in there. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But yeah. So and then there's a cop scene where everybody's dead, but they're all still holding onto their weapons and leaning up against various things. And she's given a gun. They give her one with silver bullets. And, like, for half an hour, it seems, she could have all these chances to shoot the damn thing, and she doesn't. She's just spouting out, like, you know, snarky remarks at it. And I'm like, dude, snark girl, that's her job.
Yeah.
Let her be snarky.
Much better, too.
Yeah, because, yeah, she does it the whole time, and then I'm just like, just shoot! And, like, it bothered me so bad.
I'm going to end this date.
You guys missed a whole chunk there.
Yeah, probably. Go ahead.
Yes, no, when, so, let's see, the snark girl and all those are doing their thing, and then cop guy and Josie are, when they come in, snark girl and her boyfriend are stuck in the elevator.
Mm-hmm.
Then the cop and Josie go to see everything, and then she transforms there fully.
Yeah. She does do that.
Does it very bad.
CGI.
Oh, God, the CGI is so bad.
I guess she's hunting him or dancing around with hair. She's naked and she's got black hair all down around her
waist. And it's clearly a fake wig tied around her waist.
At first she looked like a monster. Like, I'm serious. White and black, and it just looked terrible.
Or a skunk.
Oh, it was so bad. And then he picks up the book and somehow has the ability to not only avoid her, but read this book to determine that he has to bring her into the moonlight.
Yes, for the magical transformation, or else she'll be lost to the evil werewolf vibes forever.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And then they bring it in, so she actually, it does bring her back.
Just comes behind her and
picks her ass up and throws
her
out the window.
No.
Like, you're a werewolf. Why aren't you defending yourself?
I know, she's not fighting at all. She's whatever. So he throws her in there, and it, she survives it, you know, at all.
It's like the
all
moonlight
that
hits, and she's like, ooh. And that's it.
Yeah. That's it. And
that's
she turns
her
back.
That's transformation.
Yeah.
Because if it weren't for that, she'd be lost to the dark wolf thing. I don't know.
I didn't understand any of the mythology they were trying to get across there.
It was
there.
Ridiculous.
And they had to read that stupid book, and that did not look like it was clearly written in English. You know, like,
well, the book contributed almost nothing.
Well, it's funny because the guy's like, look, there's pictures and drawings and maps and stuff.
Maps.
Wow. I know.
Maps. There were no maps in that at all.
Map like, to what?
Buried treasure.
Yeah. So see. Buried werewolf treasure.
Another movie idea.
And there are several transformation scenes that are just, they're video game quality or less.
Worse than video game quality.
Atari.
Like, not even. Atari even was better.
Hey.
There, you know, and that's,
Kong was awesome, man.
I know.
That's kind of sort of the reputation that this film has when I looked online. It's like, yeah, most people break on the movie because of the bad CGI. And, you know, it's 2003, so it's not quite the same level as what you have here. And it's not quite, you know, I'm sorry, Dave Waskovich, but there was some bad CGI in your film. It's a little bit better than that, but not a whole lot better.
Yeah, dude, I take Suburban Sasquatch over this any day.
There you go. The suit was better, you know?
They didn't spend $90,000 on an ape suit that they don't ever fucking use. Because, it's just, ugh.
Close-ups of the mask, you can see somebody else's eyes are behind it.
Yeah, I was like, is that a mask? Did they actually have... Because, okay, so when you have, Rick Baker doing special effects for, American Werewolf in London, that's a full, makeup. That's not a mask. And it takes hours and hours and hours. This looked like... They were like, hey, Kane Hodder, here's a mask. Put it on. And he was like, all right.
Well, it wasn't
your
Kane
eyes.
Hodder. It was that other guy.
Oh, it was Rick McCallum who did the werewolf stuff, which I bet that makes sense because I bet Kane Hodder was mainly doing the stunt stuff. Mm-hmm. And there was a few good stunts and things. I mean, I'm not going to get on Kane about that. And I'm not going to get Kane about his acting because that was none of his.
Right. And he looked pretty intense.
Oh, no.
It was just kind of ridiculous, though. It's like. You know, just at the part where they need to know about the werewolf biker guy following him. Well, look, they just look at the TV because remember the sound magically turns on. And look, there's the camera looking right at him for 5 minutes.
And then she's like, that's the guy. You know,
are you sure? Well, let's stare at him for a few minutes.
Which is ridiculous because the reporter isn't even in the shot and the reporter's supposedly giving the news.
I know, right? It's like as if
there's a way to do it with him in the background.
The camera's ignoring
him. Well, what I'm trying to think is that maybe the point was that the wolf wanted to, get the attention of, so he had it like that, because if you notice, the wolf is staring right at the camera,
because
he knows. So he was trying to get her attention so that she would, see his eyes and maybe he would follow her or something, find her.
Allow the camera to
But I think maybe he was in a trance, but they never show that. That's the problem. They never show the reporter, of course, because it's all supposed to be taking place there. So you never see any of that.
Because the whole point is that super evil hybrid dark wolf werewolf has to find her and make with Josie because I don't know. Because
super
reasons.
Super werewolves that will take over the world.
Right. 900 years ago, a human Saxon knight mated with a werewolf. Boom. We got hybrid werewolves.
Remember, there's the hybrid werewolves and there's the normal werewolves.
Yes, the normal werewolves are just normal. And we're like, what?
There's werewolves and there's hybrid werewolves. The werewolves are normal. Normal werewolves.
I love that. I love hybrid.
Well, that explains that.
Yeah. All right. 900 years ago, a human Saxon knight mated with a werewolf. Boom. We got hybrid werewolves.
I mean, sometimes I like explanations.
I like ones that if you're going to bother, at least that it makes some sense.
Oh, you know what? That isn't this movie.
the writing wasn't particularly good, but we'll get to that. So... There is a cop massacre scene, which I had to say was a lot of fun. I enjoyed that.
Well, yeah, you like the guy on top of the, folders or whatever.
There holding the guns. Yeah. And then, like I said, Josie is given a gun with silver bullets, and she has multiple opportunities at which she could be shooting this damn thing. Does she do it? No.
So you bothered me because you were like, she's going to have a gun. Does she use it? And the whole time I'm wondering, probably not. But this is going to drive me nuts now. Shoot him. Shoot him. And
nope.
Not till the end, I guess. She actually...
Well, she drops her... Wait, though. She drops her gun, and then bad hair cop throws...
Throws it back.
Yeah,
throws another one.
Throws his gun.
Because she drops hers, never using it. Not even just to shoot in the vague direction of this thing that's coming to kill her.
Why wouldn't he... But remember, he's like, you have to shoot him in the eye, because that's apparently the only place you can shoot him.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
Hybrid werewolves are like that.
Apparently. I guess. Normal werewolves you can shoot him wherever.
Shoot him in the tail, he's dead, he's fine.
Shoot him in the tail.
So ridiculous. But finally, she gets enough gumption to shoot the damn werewolf, and you see this sort of slow motion CGI, little one-third of a bullet, go into the damn dark wolf's eye, and he jumps.
Like a Civil War bullet.
Oh, I know. He jumps over her, and then you see what looks to me, I thought it was a teddy bear that someone threw off the building. And he falls to the ground, and then the guy, the photographer guy, who I thought was dead originally, he's like, looks like some fleas are going to need a new home tonight.
Looks like some fleas are going to be looking for a new home tonight.
Why does everybody get snarky in this movie?
It's so ridiculous.
That's not snarky. That's just bad.
Bad jokes. Well, speaking of bad dad jokes,
there was a bunch of
there. The guy was like saying all these stupid werewolf jokes.
Detective Bear.
Were not even funny at all. I feel like they were made up by the writer.
What happened to the werewolf that ate too much garlic?
What?
His bark was worse than his bite.
Oh, that's
bad. Why was the werewolf running so fast?
Why?
He was in a hurry.
You know,
that
like,
was Samara Armstrong's best acting when she had to laugh at those terrible jokes. They were just bad.
Yeah.
But the movie wraps up where she says goodbye. He tells another couple of bad werewolf jokes. But the false ending, because very, very last thing, you see Kane Hodder in the morgue. And what happens? The eye opens up. So
the one eye opens
the
up.
The end, question mark?
Yeah, I want, if they do a Dark Wolf 2.
Please, please, please.
I would want an eye patch on them.
Please.
Ew.
More new
eye patch werewolf
dancing.
Man. I've never seen that.
You just want the new dancing.
So
yeah.
Stupid. Oh, dear.
I was worried because he said like when he first tried to tell you about this movie, he explained it had a werewolf new dancing.
Nude interpretive werewolf dance.
Yeah, and I was like, I don't know if Jen's gonna like enjoy this as much as you and I might.
But I definitely didn't enjoy it as much as those two.
No, true, but God, yeah. It's different. If it had been actually effective, mm-hmm. I might have felt a little weird. But because it was a complete failure to what it's supposed to be doing, it's supposed to be erotic. It's not. It's ridiculous.
Well, I'm glad you didn't save this for sexploitation sleaze cast. You know,
right.
I guess there was no. I mean, it. This at all, this whole movie was not sexy at all. Like,
not at all. It tried, it failed.
It tried at times. I mean, even the lesbian kissing scenes, which were getting those two guys like all crazy, was just like, what in the world is going on here? I don't know.
I loved how the photographer never moved his camera from that spot the entire time. And he only used one canister of film.
Right, or one lens. He never changed lenses. Yeah. And it was like the very basic, basic lens.
Not a very good photographer.
No.
He is not, you know, well, I would not be asking him to photograph.
The makeup artist was not a very good makeup artist. You know, it was just.
Actually, well, you were saying something about it being like, it was looking better than you thought it would look.
Well, no, when it shows him supposedly putting the makeup on them, he's throwing it on like a kindergarten with finger paint.
With trowels.
It's so bad. So bad. But then when you see them up there, the body makeup that they have on isn't bad.
Right.
Looking.
Because somebody else did it.
Exactly. Except, you know, if you're going to do body paint and they're going to be dancing, you have to do under the arms. You can't leave that bare and naked. It's obvious.
Right.
But that part itself wasn't too bad looking, I thought.
No.
Sure.
I mean, obviously, as the shoot went on, it wore off.
It had nothing to do with werewolves.
No. And they supposedly got this inspiration from the book?
Mm-hmm.
I guess, but like,
when they mentioned, when he got excited about looking at the book, I was like, they're going to do werewolf
I love
sex
that
scenes.
Part where he's like, are you thinking what I'm thinking? And he's like, no, I don't know. And then he sits the one girl down and he gets an ink pencil and he puts two lines, one on one side and one on the other, and he turns around like,
I think
see?
He said, I think
How
he said,
did you get that from the book?
And it didn't mean anything.
It didn't mean anything. Oh, and my favorite part is when he says, there, he puts it on her. She goes, rawr. Like, as if, if she knew. She wasn't even looking at the book.
Jumping the gun there.
So she didn't even look at the book. So like, how does she even know from going like this and like this that meant that she
not
was gonna do?
Because the writer knew. That's why.
No.
This is of course after Miguel called her a slut for her makeup.
I know. Well, everybody forgot all that. They all became very buddy very quickly.
Yeah, like everybody was all best friends
so
at the end.
So silly. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about the cast because we haven't talked about that. I guess first thing we should mention is that the director is Richard Friedman. This is a movie that came out in 2003, and apparently he has directed several other films, including...
After this or before?
Both. A movie called Ground Zero, a movie called Halfway to Hell, and a film called Act of Desperation. Now, I've not seen any of those films.
I have not either, but
I've not heard of any of those films.
Now?
Halfway to Hell sounds familiar. It
sounds like something that will maybe end up in the dollar store like this one did, and I'll just pick it up then. And check it out. So, and I guess he has produced a number of other things as well. He was producer in this. He could have produced a little more money for a little bit better,
he could have produced a lot.
Effects, but you know, what can you say? He did get Samaria Armstrong to play Josie. I guess she's the lead, mm-hmm. would you say? And
she's the lead girl.
She has been in the Entourage, she's been on the OC, NCIS. She actually was in Robot Chicken, of all things.
Wasn't she in Stay Alive? She was in Stay Alive.
I think so. She was in Arrow, Sons of Anarchy, and she was on a film called Five Souls that we just saw at Second of Charles, and I should have picked up.
Well, next time.
I definitely see this as the beginning of her career, because she wasn't that bad.
She wasn't terrible. She just, I mean, at the beginning, she was a little annoying, I think, a character, but like I kind of grew to like her, you know, a lot more.
She wasn't too bad.
She needs to learn how to fucking fire a gun, though. Just saying.
Or deliver a snarky line. Yes. But it's funny, on the little special thing that we got to watch where she talked about she wasn't going to take the role initially because she didn't think that she could convincingly act by having somebody chase, you know, having a werewolf chase her.
Which I thought was a weird thing for anybody to admit to because, like,
that's your job,
as an actress. Is to just pretend like something's chasing you. That's the easiest thing in the world, you know, to me. You know, like, I don't know. Being an actor, I always, like, that's the fun part, is being chased.
It's right up there with the writer admitting that he doesn't like werewolves. He doesn't think they're scary. It's like, okay, well then...
Why did you do this?
This movie.
Oh, because they paid me?
Yeah.
Like, that's where it all comes down to.
So, that's Josie. And then we have Ryan Alosio, who plays Charlie, Turley, Steven, Tyler, whatever his name was.
Bad hair cop.
I swear to God, they said Steven and they said Tyler, right?
I know, it was confusing.
It really was. But
and I was like, oh my God, if he's Detective Steven Tyler, I'm happy.
I just call him Bedhead Cop because he looked like he just rolled out of bed the entire time. It was very funny.
So bad.
And so he's been in a bunch of TV shows, including Lucifer, House, 24... Castle,
Dollhouse, CSI, right?
Ghost Whisperer, Bones, Monk. And then he was in some movies, too. He was in The Amazing Spider-Man, I guess it was a small role, and Revelation Road 2. So he's, I think most of these guys are all kind of like workaday actors.
It seems like there are a lot of TV actors, you know, which a lot of TV actors take like these indie films because they're not in like the big time Hollywood movies as stars.
Right.
So they take these indie films as a chance to get their real big break. And then unfortunately movies like this kind of fall off the wayside.
You know, I don't know. I mean, he did the best he could with the character that was given him. His character was kind of annoying, but I thought his acting style kind of irritated you.
It sounded like Batman to me. Like this whole time, it just sounded like he didn't have, like he was doing a voice instead of playing a character. You know, like he was like, "Oh, leave me alone."
What did you think?
I just thought everything was intense. Mm-hmm. There was nothing else. It was just intense. Like, calm down.
Yeah, yeah. Like
age intense.
Like you're a little too much here.
My partner died. I don't have time to explain this to you.
Which is sad because he overacted and just was way too much on those lines. But, you know, now I'm thinking back on it, when he finds her half transformed in the bathtub and she transformed, like him going to take care of her, I thought he did a good job. Mm-hmm. Like, he is this compassionate person. Like, oh my God, I saw something. You're really upset. I can, you know, comfort you. And I thought, like, the tender moments, except for the dad jokes, those needs to be kicked for those.
I actually thought he did okay with the jokes. He actually looked embarrassed to be saying them.
But,
you know?
What you were talking about before earlier is the save the cat moment. There's a save the cat moment where the person is supposed to be, is supposed to do something. Like, back in the day, they would have, like, Gary Cooper would go and save a cat from a tree, and then all of a sudden the audience would go, I like this guy, look what he's doing, that kind of thing. Him doing that, picking up the girl and being sweet and, you know, compassionate, that's the save the cat moment, which is good to have in these kind of movies, because otherwise, we watch so many movies, and you've been privy to a few of them too, where we just don't give a crap about any of the characters and want them all to die.
Right.
At least this one, I kind of like Samaria Armstrong. I liked him and I liked the snarky girl the most. Like those three, I was like, if they die, I wouldn't be like you know, crying, but I'd be a little sad, you know, because I kind of like them.
I'll touch on Snarky Girl in a few seconds, but I have to say this about Turley and his Save the Cat moment. His Save the Cat moment should have come earlier, because originally he's just being shitty to his new partner.
Werewolves, they exist. They are very real. Get over it.
When all you have to do is take 30 seconds to explain what's going on. Mm. It's of course she's going to ask questions.
He did take 30 seconds to explain after he took 2 minutes of yelling at her.
Right, yeah. Right.
So he took 30 seconds to go, okay, fine, I'll tell you everything. God.
Right. You know, his Save the Cat moment should have come a little bit earlier.
It should have, but that's usually when it does. It usually comes in early because you're supposed to care for the character like the whole time.
You're supposed to establish that portion of his character so that when he is rough and gruff, you can see that he's, you know, he's got multiple layers to him and that there's a reason he's doing that. But he's not like that all the time. Mm. Initially, we figure, oh, is this going to be another jerk? Like Jerky Tom. Jerky Tom never has a Save the Cat moment, so he's a jerk all the way through.
He's like complaining that his girlfriend is touching another guy, so all of a sudden that guy is a bad guy and he doesn't even know he's a cop.
Oh, that guy over there?
Yes, thank you. High five.
That was fun.
That was good. I like that one.
So then there is Snarky Girl, and I'm sorry I forget the character's actual name. But she's played by Andrea Bogart. And she was
Annie?
No, Annie's the other one.
Oh.
She was really, really good. I think she was our favorite character of all of them.
You said she was like Cordelia from Buffy.
That's what she reminded me of.
Sounds like a mess of wolf or something.
I think you just nailed it right there, babe.
So she's been on a bunch of CSI. In fact, I think she was on all the CSI.
Oh, that was who was the one who was on all the CSI.
Yeah,
okay.
She was in a bunch of Lifetime movies. She's another workaday actor who's just
maybe I saw her in one of the Lifetime movies I was in. But you know, I didn't know.
She just brought so much to that character. She really, really, and you're right. There were a couple of times when Dark Wolfie just kind of slaps her against the wall, and I'm like, oh shit, my favorite character's gonna die. But she manages to bounce back because she's protected.
Literally bounce back.
Nope.
Which made no sense. Well, I mean, like, it didn't make sense to kill Annie that way, but then not kill Snarky Girl that way.
Mm. Well, I got the impression that she just was a lot tougher as a person. Probably.
So then why did her boyfriend live?
He's an artist. Yeah.
So that he could deliver the flea line? Is that it?
That's probably it. Because
they're like, nobody else would have said that line.
What's worse is that he walks out downstairs as if nothing has happened. Not even any blood. I mean, dude, a werewolf just pile-drived you against a wall. You should at least have a bruise. You know?
But, I mean, come on, you're giving the film a little bit more credit than it deserves.
I know. It has the feel of an extra tack on. Like, let's give this guy one more scene and that, because he probably should have stayed dead. But anyway, Snarky Girl.
You thought he was dead. You've seen this movie before, and you thought he was dead.
I forgot about the last line. But the last line almost sounds like Snarky Girl should deliver it, you know?
No, I don't think anybody should have delivered it.
Yeah, she would have had a better line.
She would have had a better line. She did not have, like... Yeah, or Turley could have delivered it because he was doing nothing but really bad werewolf jokes. So he could have said that to her, and that girl could have laughed.
Right. Like, so it's funny because her Save the Cat moment, which is not going to be everybody else's Save the Cat moment, but it was mine because she's initially so snarky. Is of course when she decides, you know, initially she doesn't like Annie, the other girl, the mother model. And all of a sudden, once they get a bunch of makeup on and have the techno music, she's down to do it.
That's not a Save the Cat moment.
Don't do that. Making out with the other chick. It's like, oh, okay, we like her.
That's nope. I'm going to say,
don't take his naked ladies away from him.
No, you can have the naked ladies. Just don't put my Save the Cat moment thing and say that was that. That
different,
was not that.
Different cat.
It's a different thing, you know, period.
But anyway, I did like her more because of that, because she wasn't just a snarky character and that's it.
Yeah.
There was more to her.
Yeah.
So applause for Andrea Bogart. Thank you. You really helped with the film. then we have Miguel, who's played by Alexis Cruz. Alexis Cruz has been in a number of Stargate productions because there were multiple ones of those. He was also in Why Do Fools Fall in Love. Apparently he was in Drag Me to Hell. I don't remember that. He was in a couple other films, Slayer and Spectres, which are also like independent horror films.
Cool.
What did you guys think of Miguel and the makeup artist?
Stereotype. Boom. That's it.
I mean, he's all right. I mean, he was just werewolf fodder, you know?
I think if he had taken some lessons on how to apply makeup, it would
have
been unbelievable. Because I did think it was kind of funny when he showed up and he's like, slut. You did your own makeup, you look like a slut. Although her makeup really wasn't that bad.
Right.
I didn't think anything was wrong with her makeup. Like, I wouldn't have... You know,
y'all were studying her makeup. She was half nude.
For whatever reason, the director just decided that we had to watch him poop. Don't ask me why.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. Thanks, Paul.
No, for goodness. Why? Why would you make that a scene? I don't understand that. He could be doing anything. Why do that? Well, it's just strange. A strange, strange decision.
I don't know.
Decision.
But okay, so to go back to his whole, he should have learned how to put makeup on. My big thing on that is they have a makeup artist there, obviously.
Right.
Ask her, hey, or him, or whoever.
It's not that difficult to pretend to put, foundation on someone. You can learn that in 5 seconds.
It was more of the body paint, I think.
It's like he's picking up giant fistfuls of shit and just splashing it on them.
Yeah.
Mackenzie would have gone crazy about that.
Yes.
That, oh my God.
Maybe we could do a Patreon-only one with her watching this. I'd love to see what she has to say. Funny.
Oh, Lord.
So
Mackenzie's our makeup artist,
that's
friend.
That's Alexi Cruz's Miguel, and unfortunately he gets munched on.
Unfortunately.
Next, we have Sasha Craig, who plays Anna, who is the model turned naked werewolf interpretive dancer that I liked.
That you liked a lot, yeah.
She apparently was in a bunch of Power Ranger stuff, and she played a Power Ranger for a couple of years. And then,
do you know which Ranger she was, like yellow or?
I don't recall, but she apparently made the decision to do this film having full knowledge of the whole naked werewolf dance thing because she wanted to break out of being typecast as a child show actress.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, that happens to a lot of people. I mean, Serena Vincent was a Power Ranger,
mm-hmm.
and then she gone on to do, the first thing she did that was big was Not Another Teen Movie, and she was like half naked she was topless the whole time of that, making fun of American Pie.
Sometimes you got to break that mold, and this is how you do it. And she broke that mold, that's for darn sure. She was also in Tucker and Dale versus the Undead.
Versus Evil.
Versus Evil, rather. And
did you see that movie?
Oh,
yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Kristen loves
that
movie.
Okay,
it's
good.
One of her favorites, actually. Uh-huh. But, and she's been in a few other things, and I liked her a lot. I thought she was very, very pretty, and I thought she, for her character, you know, she seemed really nice, you know.
Yeah, she was sweet. I mean, she got called a slut, poor girl.
I know. And then
she didn't
kind of
do anything.
Off, you know?
Yeah, she was like, oh, whatever.
Whatever.
Yeah. Maybe
what
I
else?
Am one. I don't know,
but she doesn't act like one. She seems really nice, and I was personally very sorry to see her get slapped and killed.
I was a little sad too, because I did like her, but it's just that, like, she was a throwaway character. Like, when you make these werewolf movies, a lot of times you're gonna have a lot of characters that just die,
right?
You know, like, they're just like, they're there to get killed,
and most of the time I don't give a shit, but in this particular case I was like, man, I wish she had survived.
Yeah.
And then the last one I wanted to touch on is Jamie Berg, who plays McGowan, who is the blonde new partner in the purple pantsuit. Yeah, she's been in a number of things. She's been in Bones. She was in Dawson's Creek.
What? She was in Dawson's Creek?
Dawson's Creek. She was
Sweet.
In some other movies. She was in Boa versus Python. She was in a movie called Soul Keeper.
I didn't see that yet. I was going to watch it. I didn't see it. So.
And
dang.
She was in a movie called Knee High Private Eye. So
Whoa.
I'm not sure if that's a child or a midget or a small person. I don't no idea.
Private Eye. That sounds awesome, though. Sounds like up your alley.
Maybe it's an Ankle Biters kind of film. I don't know. But
I
I'm
no
very,
idea. Ankle
very
Biters.
Curious.
Remember that one?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But,
the one that put him to sleep?
Right. I don't know. You seem to like the purple pantsuit. To me, it was just Barney.
It was fine, but new officer would not have been wearing that, even a detective, especially with a white shirt.
Right, right.
No, absolutely not. Short sleeve pants. Well, first of all, too, a short sleeve pantsuit. You don't. That's no.
And she had that one scene that just this bothered me when I was watching it. When she's walking in with the messed up hair cop. And he's walking by and she's yelling at him. And I'm like thinking, okay, like, this is such a like cliche scene of the cop yelling at the other cop while they're walking to the room while other cops just are randomly doing shit.
What's going on around here? Why the shiny guns?
It's just bother. I hate those kind of scenes. If I ever write something like that, just smack me in the head.
Well, it's funny. Instead of being a buddy cop film, it was like an anti-buddy cop film.
Yeah, because they didn't like each other or whatever, and then, you know, she died.
Well, she has no idea what's going on, and he's just very, very reluctant to explain anything. And then when he finally does, she kind of laughs at him. Which makes sense, because who expects werewolves? I mean, it's just silly.
I don't know. Nowadays, if somebody were like, there's werewolves in there, I'd be like, nah, it's 2021.
However, I mean, he does say that there are werewolf divisions in all the metropolitan cities in the country.
You laughed at that line.
Every major metropolitan city. So, who the hell talks like that?
So you would think somebody out there, some reporter, might have sort of spilled the beans by now, and somebody would know. I mean, we talked about shooting in a universe where there are monsters and people, but they all know it and everybody understands it, because how are you going to hide that? You can't hide that.
I mean, this isn't True Blood, you know, like where there's vampires that just exist and people just accept this, you know. This is more like Supernatural, where there's whatever, but it still doesn't make any sense. The fucking werewolf burst into the...
You saw it.
It was there. It's, like, very obvious.
And also, why would someone assign her to shadow this guy and not tell her what she's getting
and
into?
Who assigned her?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I would have loved to see that part.
Right.
Like,
right.
Hey, here's your new assignment. You've got this guy. Because they didn't... They started off where everybody's, like, already in this, like, stuff going on.
Yeah.
I would have loved to see a little bit of backstory. Now, they would have made the movie longer, or they could have cut some stuff.
She doesn't even know what he is. She's like, you're DEA, FBI. You work with the FBI and DEA. And I'm like, what?
Some secret operation, right? You're DEA, FBI, or maybe working with the DEA or FBI. Hey, I need a little help understanding here.
Yeah, a bunch of random letters, man. And it did drive me crazy. Like, wait, she's supposed to be shadowing some guy. She doesn't even know who this person is.
And he keeps carrying her purse, too.
Oh my God.
If you're a cop going around, or you're not carrying a purse.
She's the worst character. And I don't think that it's Jamie Berg's fault. I think the way it's written.
Oh, no, yeah, no. It's not her. She did a great job. She did a great job.
She did a decent job with what she had.
I thought she did a great job.
But her character was awful.
The purse thing, I thought there would be something in the purse, like a gun or something that she'd have to use. Nope.
A reason for her to be in the film was in a purse.
Women carry purses, so...
Oh my God, if it's really that,
women,
like...
Women cops generally do not, though.
Exactly.
See, this...
Well, you notice the only other person that carried a purse was Josie. Jojo. Or Joe's. Whatever nickname you want to call her.
Jojo, the dog face girl.
Snarky didn't carry a purse.
She didn't carry her purse.
He carried everything in his hair. You couldn't tell. He was pulling guns out of everywhere, too. You noticed that. He was hiding them all over the place.
Oh, he had them. Oh, man, in his house. He had them everywhere.
He had his house when he changed shirts. Did you guys notice, like, he had a gun stuffed into his pants while he's walking around with a shirt undone?
Noticed that,
like,
did you?
What? Why don't you take your gun off? Take your shirt off.
Well, I mean, you might need it with the werewolf coming, just saying.
Yeah, but his other guns were like on the table.
I don't know. People, like, you're giving.
I mean, I had my Anna, the naked werewolf interpretive dance girl. You had Bedhead Cop.
No, she didn't. She wants. Next movie, she wants a hot guy.
What's his name's butt was better looking than that cop guy. Neil
Breen's butt?
No. Oh my God.
Dear.
No, the other dude in there.
I don't know.
They show him after he's transformed, they back out, and you just see his ass.
Backside. Oh, Kane Hodder.
I was like, it's not bad, actually.
Well, there you go, Kane Hodder.
You have a butt fan right here.
Right here, man. I was surprised because...
Some of the other butts you guys have subjected me to?
But here's the thing. I've never seen that before. I've seen a lot of Kane Hodder movies. I've never seen his butt before. I was surprised.
It was a stunt butt.
Maybe it was a stunt butt. I was thinking about that too.
Here's the care.
I was actually thinking about that.
Show us your butt. We have to see if
well,
your butt
many,
is the
many
same.
Years ago.
I know. Come on. Let's give it a kiss. Because his butt may not look the
show
same.
Show us your dark wolf butt. Come on.
I don't know. We got to find out though.
He's
if
a
he
big
comes,
guy.
If
I'll
he
let
comes,
you ask him.
He might. If he comes to Scares Like Here next time, we got to ask him. Dude, we saw a dark wolf. Is that really your butt?
Do you remember Biker Dude? Biker Guy? Your name, Biker Guy?
Oh, my God.
But just to wrap up on Jamie Berg, the other poor thing, the other thing about her is, you know, the, bad enough that she gets attacked while ignoring the werewolf on the other side of the window from her, and nobody bothers to hear her.
Uh-huh.
The same thing happens when she's in the fake hospital room. You know, the nurse walks in, says a couple of things, walks out, and doesn't notice that there's this 7-foot massive snarling werewolf in the same room with her.
Well, and there wasn't enough light, you see, to see everywhere.
Oh, for God's sakes. How bad was that?
That was terrible. But I just imagined, like he had just somehow came in there, like at that particular time. Snuck in somehow. Because you said he was a ninja werewolf at one point.
That's what he seems like.
So maybe he just snuck in somehow.
Snuck in through the AC vent or something.
Yeah.
It's just ridiculous.
They just never showed that part.
So poor Jamie Berg. She had a crappy character and she did the best she could with it. It's just a shame.
I mean, she, like, yeah, no, it wasn't her fault at all. It was the writing of the movie.
It was
and,
the writing.
It was almost as if the writer, and I forgot what his name was, but I don't know if you wrote that down or not.
I think his last name was Crowley.
Yeah, something like that. Crowley. But he obviously didn't care about this movie at all.
Very badly
and
written.
So what he probably did was he watched a couple cop movies, saw that there was always that cop that was following the other cop or whatever, and new partner or who has to get it, you know. Get whatever, but it was almost like it didn't matter because that cop, the character dies like pretty quickly into the movie. So it was just like, this is just once again another throwaway character who's gonna die,
right?
You know,
and that's to me was the worst part of the film, which is the way that it was written. I thought directing wise it was okay. There were some questionable direction decisions in
there,
my opinion,
a couple,
yeah, more than a few, but some of the things were okay. I mean, you know, I don't know what to say about the dance scene. That was just so strange. I don't know how to judge that other than it's just very weird.
There's a lot of continuity errors.
But there were some continuity errors.
There were some things that, like, as a director, he could have fixed these things up. Now, I don't know if it was a lot of other people, like maybe the writer had more control over things. Because obviously if he had more control over things, he doesn't like this movie. He's just not going to give a crap or whatever. The director didn't, maybe the producers kind of came in and said a few things. They wanted things done.
Clearly they didn't have enough money to do what they really wanted to do. You know, we noticed the same 5 lights in the car scene on both sides of the car.
Yeah, the car not moving at all.
It's kind of...
Although they did the lights across the front, like they were passing lights, so that helped.
They tried.
You could still tell it wasn't
Yes. But there were a couple of shot setups that I thought were decent. We're okay, you know. So I can't pin the blame so much on him so much as the writing.
The writing was terrible.
Some of the effects were not very, very good, and clearly the CGI was poor. It's what the budget was able to get, and you know that's what happens sometimes. But if it's going to be that bad, just don't show it. You know, just don't put it in there.
Yeah, sometimes you just don't know. You know, like if it's gonna be that bad or not. And then if you can't put it in there, and you, what are you gonna do? You can't, you know. It has
well,
something has to go in there.
At the end, you have the scene. You can say, okay, I don't really like the way this looks. Let's put in something else. Let's not show it. They went with it, and it's just.
I don't know. I don't. Maybe they didn't have anything to cut to. Sometimes
maybe.
You don't have enough coverage.
Lost way too much money.
But you can always do it off camera and focus on somebody reacting. I mean, there's always something you can do.
Yeah, but then you would get mad, be like, "Where's the blood?"
I'd rather be mad at that than mad at somebody who suddenly turns into a cartoon.
So you want the option on your screen, like show transformation?
Show shitty transformation.
Don't show transformation.
Was this a choose-your-own adventure?
There you go.
Exactly.
Choose your own movie.
I thought the acting for the most part was okay.
They have a few of those, actually.
I think these guys tried. They tried the best they could with some of these characters. The characters are so poorly
we've
done.
We've seen much worse acting.
Sure.
Acting wasn't bad at all, really. Right. I thought the acting was probably one of the best parts of the movie.
Exactly.
They had professional actors, you know, I mean, you could tell these guys, and you even read off that they've been in a bunch of stuff. These weren't like people who just do like nothing and never do anything again. We've seen many of those. we've seen many of those where like people just never do another movie again.
Sure.
And that's fine. But, you know, you want to get good people to do that.
Right.
These people are pretty decent. I mean, I like them.
For what it was, you know, acting-wise, I think they did okay. It's just, the writing was just not there. The writing let the whole thing down.
Yeah, you can't, there's only so much you as an actor can do. I like working with actors who, if they see a flaw in the script or something, they let me know as a director.
Sure.
And then we fix it. Sure. You know, I feel like a lot of times directors, and maybe this was this director, was like, stick to the script, you know, do what these people say, they're, you know, whatever. I mean, because I would rather somebody go, well, this is going to suck, so don't do it.
Or at least say, hey, can we try a different take? And this way you've got the original shot, you've got this shot, maybe a couple others, and you can make a choice later.
And the actors don't have much choice when it comes to, like, what the CGI is going to look like or whatever, things like that. So you can never blame them for any of the shitty stuff that happens.
Right. So they have to react, and God knows what it's going to be. However, they did see that ape suit, so they knew that that was part of it. They just have to assume it's going to look good.
$90,000, man. That's a whole movie.
Did you see when they, after they had adjusted, when they had the person trying to walk on all four legs and do that? That actually didn't look too bad from a distance. That was workable. That was better than some.
It looked like a real like wolf or something at one point.
Yeah,
so
that wasn't too bad.
It was pretty good.
They didn't use that much. Mm-hmm.
But they didn't probably couldn't afford to.
Right, and it probably would have been very difficult to actually move fast. I think that's why every time you saw the werewolf moving, it was one of those crappy CGI things.
True, but even if you had in the background, like the one, the shadow from
you could have used it
a lot more because that looked better than.
Sure.
Or you get
the black CGI.
You got a lot more of like the POV shots of the werewolf. Like you were even saying at one point, this is what a werewolf looks like when it's like watching you or something.
I know.
You know,
werewolf vision. They had a lot of werewolf quote unquote dissolves where you're seeing the things from its eyes, and I'm like, oh, this guy's been watching Wolfen because everything's red and jumbled.
Yeah. And every time it dissolved, it was red. Like when it went to the next.
And
scene.
Reminded you that it's a werewolf movie because he's always a howl or there was a moon. So it's just.
Yeah, they
remember.
Kept doing that. Like in the middle of like when they haven't had a werewolf in maybe 20 minutes, they're like, oh, by the way, here's a shot of a werewolf. So we know that we're still in a werewolf movie.
Some of the editing was a little suspect as well.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know. So I guess we're at the point now where we can talk about how we're going to score this film.
Okay, we're at the end.
So. For those of you who don't know about our system, we do have a stinkometer, and we rate movies 1 to 10, by which 1 is kind of a low stinky score, so it's a pretty good film. 5 is kind of right in the middle. It's got some stink to it, but it's not horrible. And then 10 is all the way up to really, really high on the stink score, and it's really smelly and terrible and awful. And you can give any score 1 to 10, and then if you feel a little bit subtle about it, maybe give it a half score, 5.5, 7.5, something like that. And then at the end of the season, we tally up our scores from 3 judges, and we figure out what was the stinkiest movie for season 4. And we've had some stinkers. We've had a few stinkers this season. You were not privy to some of these really bad stinkers, but
yeah, you had. We give
I'm not
you.
Upset about
we
that.
Let you skate on a couple.
I'm not
I mean, wait,
upset
she's
about
only
that.
Been in 2, right? So
I'm
far, this is
I'm dying
the
to
one.
Show you Alien Beasts, just because I think you'd see a whole other level of filmmaking that's out there. But, okay.
I've been to a junior high play before, so.
Oh, God, this is beyond
much
that.
Worse.
Oh,
much, much God. Worse. What you thought was bad in Mummy Cat, not even close.
Or Fateful Findings.
Not even close.
Neil Breen doesn't even, like, touch it.
One day. But in any event, you've been in the rodeo a few times, so you understand the score. Justin, what is your score for this movie?
So I'm torn. It's either 7 or 7.5. Because I have to admit, I thought it was kind of boring. Like, I had hopes for it in the beginning. I mean, starts off, once you get past the boobs, into, like, an action shot. And like, oh, okay, cool, we got some action. And then it just slows. And there's so much slow, boring time. Yeah. I didn't find, it was weird, and like we talked about, the acting was good, and they had some good parts, but it just was kind of dull.
I'm actually surprised you're scoring it that low, given the fact that you found it boring.
Well, that's why I'm between 7 and 7.5. I'm trying to, because as you mentioned, I have seen other movies, so
that's
I'm
true.
Like, is it worse than all these other ones, or, so.
Well, see, this is where we get into the thing where we're kind of getting really annoyed lately that people are like rating lower
than they expect
because like then they regret it later. They're like, oh, like me, I rated Actium Maximus a 9.5. It deserved a 10, mm-hmm. You know. But I did it because it was the first one off the bat, and I was like, there's no way this could be worse than whatever Paul's going to be giving me
somehow
later.
Somehow these things happen, and you don't expect it. We totally expected 30s. For Alien Beast. And John Ward was actually charmed by the fact that it was so bad that he actually
made it, like, put it back to a 5.
Right. It was, like, so bad, it went all the way around to good, and he enjoyed it. He gave it a 5, and we were flabbergasted. We're like, wow. But that's what he gave, so that's what we had to go with.
Oh, yeah.
So, if you want, we can come back to your score.
Okay.
Mr. Moody, what about you?
9.
See, right off the gut.
9. I was torn, and then I was almost listening to you about it. And I was like, wait, she's giving it a 7. Should I give it lower? Nope, 9.
9.
It is terrible. And I love the actors. The actors, like, if anything, they're the ones that save it from not being a 10.
Yes.
But the writing was god awful. The editing was just poor. Remember I said in the beginning of when we were first watching it, this is pathetic, and you said, that's going to be a word that you're going to say a lot. Pathetic was like the best word for this movie. It's pretty pathetic. It was, and I can see why this is at the Dollar Tree. Like, you know, this is only a dollar movie.
What a great bargain.
I know. Like, ugh, this is something that Paul, I can see Paul owning and loving and showing other people.
Please
and
let there be a Dark Wolf 2.
No, there's not. There's not one right now.
No.
Maybe the directors will make one after this podcast.
No.
Let's hope so.
But all right. So what about you, sir?
All right. Well, yeah, all the things you said. Plus, I mean, you look at like the lighting. The lighting was always bad. It was always dark, and sets that are not supposed to look that dark and that abandoned just were.
Mm-hmm.
But then there are other parts that actually looked, I thought, pretty good. Like when they were creeping around the warehouse, that looked pretty good. The photographer set, when they weren't doing the weird werewolf dance on the roof, actually I thought looked pretty good. And so there was some stuff there that kind of mitigated it, but not by much.
Mm.
And, you know, there was some decent acting considering some of the shitty-ass characters that were giving it. I'm not quite at a 9. I'm going to go with an 8.5.
Okay.
8.5. It's still pretty bad. You know, it's not quite, you know, Blood Predator level of bad. Mm. It's a step below, but it's bad.
No giant crickets from hell?
No evil space crickets from hell. That would have been awesome.
No.
It's just shitty CGI from hell.
Yeah.
And then Kane Hodder does add something to it, too.
You know, werewolves are my favorite, right?
Yes, I know.
Like, you know that. So
I
absolutely adore them because I just love the lore of that stuff. And they really didn't have much in that of this,
no.
So, like, ugh.
But you notice when Josie becomes the werewolf towards the end, and she's walking with that ridiculous wig on, and she's got fake teeth on, you can tell whoever the actress is trying to, like, roar, 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 and you can tell that her voice is being barred by the big fangs, fake fangs in her mouth.
Oh, God.
And I felt so bad for her. But, yeah, I decided to go with 8.5.
All right, we're back to you, Jen.
We're back to you, Jen.
Are you going to stick with the 7?
Well, like I said, I was between 2, so I'll give it the 7.5.
Okay.
But, yeah.
You liked it a little bit better than we did.
Yeah.
I'm surprised.
Well, I'm also not picking apart a lot of this, because the darkness, you know, how dark everything was, I mean, this is all supposed to be happening in one night. So,
oh, God, I even forgot it is one night.
I guess.
Feels like much more than that.
I think... So I believe, if I was trying to follow that, the raid on the strip club happened in one night. No, I think it was all one night. Yeah, yeah.
Then this is one of the best ideas for something like that. Is probably the best thing that this whole story
it happened get, one night
because yeah because the beauty of werewolves that I always get annoyed by is that the werewolves attack the next day when it's not a full moon, right? And they're always like, oh, it's a full moon. I'm like, it's not a fucking full moon anymore the next day. Like, it's only a full moon that one night.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'm still giving it a 9, but I'm giving you guys a little bit more credit for that.
Yeah,
well, maybe it was a partial moon. Maybe he's only a partial werewolf.
He was a hybrid werewolf.
Not a normal one. At one point, Charlie/Tyler/Steve/Turling does say there's only 30 minutes left of the moon.
Mm-hmm.
Where did he get that from? How does he know that?
I don't know.
Has he been timing it?
Why are you looking at us?
Well, I thought maybe you guys picked up something that I didn't.
No. This movie left a lot to, like, be understood.
Yeah. I blame the writer.
I blame the writer, too. And I blame him that he did not like werewolf movies.
Right,
and
right.
Yet he made a werewolf movie. It would be like if I made a zombie movie, because I hate zombie movies. Let me go make a zombie movie right now, and I'll just make crap.
Yeah, zombies don't scare me, so I'll just throw up whatever.
He said werewolves don't scare him. What the fuck, man? Like, werewolves, I swear to God, if a werewolf was attacking him, he'd fucking be scared.
Not a werewolf, he's a swearwolf.
Oh, God.
That would have been fun.
See, that was a better joke than the fucking jokes that they did. Oh Lord.
Okay, well, I think we finally come to the end of yet another episode. Thank you, Just Jen,
for
400 hours of interpretive naked werewolf lesbian dancing.
Actually,
that was your hope there.
Well, I mean, okay, so
it was so ridiculous.
I was afraid, I had no idea what he was talking about, and then he said werewolf, and so I was like, oh shit, we're gonna see some hairy naked chicks. No, we don't really.
Well, she's mainly a cartoon at that
point. Yeah, she's a cartoon at that point, so it's not really,
it was
whatever.
Difficult to explain because I don't quite get it. But
so thank you, Jen.
Put you through the ringer again.
Yeah, and we welcome you back. I'll try to find something next time for us, for you to do.
Not Ski Wolf.
But I'll try to find something that with a hot guy so you can be happy.
There you go.
Hot guy that has his shirt off the whole time.
There you go.
But anyway, I just want to say before we end this that by the time that by the time that this airs, I will be heading home to Virginia. Woo!
Yay.
I'm here in Virginia right now, but I'm going back to LA tomorrow. So then we will be coming back and we'll be doing more in studio ones episodes.
And we just finished up some studio work, did we not?
We did. We filmed a couple short films this past weekend. It was fun. I can't believe it's been a week.
Right.
It feels like, why are you laughing? Okay. All right. We had such a fun time. It was great. And we can't wait to show you what we did.
And the monkey had a starring role in one scene.
Yes. Absolutely. Which was not expected.
He's going to get his own Internet Movie Database.
Continuity Monkey will be on the Internet Movie Database.
He's going to get his own legion of fans, as if he doesn't already have that.
And
he squeaked a lot in this film. We didn't really squeak him on the podcast, but there was a lot of squeaks. There was a lot of continuity issues in this film.
We squeaked it a lot while we were watching it, but didn't squeak it a lot on here because we don't have to. But we did when we watched that movie because there was a lot of continuity issues.
Yes, there was.
Which I was kind of surprised about because the budget looked pretty decent. So you'd think that somebody would catch these little things, but I guess when you're making these horror films, after a while, you just don't realize it.
We were pretty careful about that.
Oh, we were. In fact, our actress, Lydia, the whole time was going, continuity!
Continuity!
Trying to make sure that we caught it. And that was making Paul all happy.
Oh, yeah. There was a lot of stuff.
And she was mooing at him, too.
Yes.
Oh,
She was, and there's one point, I'll tell you this, Paige, who was you met Paige. Paige was being our production assistant, and she heard Lydia go moo to Paul, and she shoots a look at her, and, you know, it's like, don't do that. And it was funny. It was all fun and funny games. They knew, like you know, but she kept just doing it anyway. Like, she thought it was hilarious. But, you know, it was fun.
At one point in one of the scenes, our sound guy thought he heard some woman moaning somewhere.
So we weren't kidding. Like, he kept hearing it and shit. So we kept looking around. There really was nobody there, too. Mm-hmm. That's like the creepiest thing ever. So we're
gonna go back and we're gonna try and see if we can find it somewhere, because isn't that weird?
We want to hear what the person is saying.
You might be interested in that.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Well, anyway, thank you guys for listening. I think this went on a pretty good long, but it was fun.
It was fun.
It was a good, actually, thank you, Paul, for this really.
Don't thank him. Don't encourage him.
I'm going to thank him because I want him to show me more stuff like this, maybe.
Yeah, that's true.
But when I saw this and I watched it, I'm like, oh, yeah, we got to use this one for Indie Film Cafe. It's so much fun.
Definitely. Well, thank you guys for listening. Tune in 2 weeks for mine, and then... we will be doing more podcasts and other things on Indie Film Cafe.
Yep,
so
we will see you on the flip side.
Bye.
Bye.
Sounds like a massive wolf or something.
I think you just nailed it right there, babe.